Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur
explains that the holy name is naturally coming together with Sri Dham. Sri Nam and Sri Dham are together. It said without Sri Dham, the full import of the holy name is not revealed. Because the holy name is Nama from Sri Krishna, Abhinatva Nami Namino. And therefore, wherever Krishna goes, Vrindavan is always there. Or Sri Namaipur, same. It is explained like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Krishna travels, he's not limited, you know, with a suitcase of 20 kilos. He's not thinking, geez, you know, what am I going to take? You know, some Chaitamani stones and some, yeah, some prasadam, of course. It's also not that when Krishna comes to the material world, that he has to leave the spiritual world and he puts a note on the fridge saying, going to the material world, we'll be right back. Not like that. Krishna just takes the entire spiritual world with him when he comes to the material world. So wherever Krishna is, there is the entire spiritual world. Prabhupada explained once that in Kurukshetra, there we have Parthasarathi. We have Krishna, who's the chariot driver of Arjuna. Parthasarathi. But then, Srila Prabhupada, he called the deities in Delhi Radha Parthasarathi. So in 1975, some devotees were asking, but Srila Prabhupada, how is it possible to call these deities Radha Parthasarathi? I mean, Kurukshetra, Arjuna, arrows, a battlefield, horses, chariot, armies inviting, and, you know, not Vrindavan, it's a rain of arrows, no gopis. So why Radha Parthasarathi? Prabhupada said, wherever there's Krishna, Radharani is always there. Because the entire spiritual world comes with Krishna when he comes to this world. Therefore, the combination of Dham and Nam is especially potent. Of course, through just the chanting of the holy name, wherever we do that in the world, whether we sit with the Eskimos on the North Pole, sort of waiting for the 6 months night, you know, finally for the sun to rise after 6 months, because that's how it is on the pole, 6 months dark and 6 months light. Right? So it's a long night. Anyway, when finally it gets light, and it's Brahma Muhurta, it's a long Brahma Muhurta also, one can understand, there in the pole, whatever it may be. But one can chant Hare Krishna. And when one chants deeply, one is also in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. Wherever we are in the world, that is true. But then, it is said that when we are conditioned, we cannot appreciate it fully. It is said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote in a letter, he said that the kirtan in the house of Srivasangan, is going on every night. But, he said, only few devotees can hear it. Some devotees, they hear it directly. They can hear at night. They don't hear the jackals howling. They hear, as some of us might do. No, they hear the kirtan, actually, in Sri Vasanga. Yes. He said, some devotees hear directly and others hear through the scriptures. It is the same. So for most of us, we're hearing about Krishna's eternal pastimes, about the Dham, about his kirtans at night. We're hearing through the scriptures, we hear about it, we don't hear it directly. And that is also good. So we come into the Dham, but how deeply can we appreciate that the Dham is the spiritual world? Oh, Mayapur, oh, nice place. Nice jackals. Absolutely. At night when I hear the jackals, I think they're in ecstasy. Yeah. They're just doing the ulu, you know? the jackals are also doing. And I think the elephants were pujaris in their last life who were blowing the conch shell. So that's why they make that loud noise, like trumpet sound. Everything in the Dham is very transcendental, but who has the eyes to see? Tomorrow we're going to Mongachi with some devotees from MI. And we saw that in a previous year, we're going through that channel with the boat, and then there was this crow sitting in a tree, and we were chanting, Rama, and then, you know, and then this crow was also chanting, like, Rama. We are in the Dham. These are not ordinary living beings in the Dham. These are devotees. But how much can we see? How much can we see when we are conditioned devotees? Still, staying in the Dham, even for a conditioned devotee, is very valuable, because the Dham, it said, can give chaya bhav. It lends ecstasy. Just by being in the Dham, it lends us some ecstasy. And it said that if you are lending it for a long time, then eventually the Dham will just let you keep it. So this is basically what's happening here. We are borrowing from the Dham some ecstasy and not giving it back. We hold it carefully, and then we hope that that the Dham forgets that we got some and that we can just keep it. So like this, staying in the Dham, one gets a tremendous inspiration. Then to chant the holy name in the Dham, sometimes in ecstatic kirtan, other times early in the morning, peacefully and quietly, just chanting japa and just switching off the mind. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to call, nothing, just name after name. In this way, we gradually attract the mercy of Krishna. Because to become advanced in spiritual life depends on Krishna's mercy. Somehow or other, when Krishna is satisfied with whatever offering we have made, then he will reveal himself. One cannot say, now, how many rounds do I have to chant before Krishna will show himself to me? The answer is 50,672 and a half. You remember that, right? 50,672 and a half, and then Krishna will manifest. That's the formula. I'm counting. How many have I got? No, it's not like that, right? It's up to Krishna. He's independent. He can manifest himself as he likes. Just like that. He may sometimes even give mercy to a materialist, and sometimes the devotee has to wait so long before Krishna will reveal himself. That's up to him. But obviously, mercy means that Krishna reveals himself. Because we're not praying to Krishna for something else. Oh Krishna, why don't you give me? Oh Krishna, why don't you make me more famous than anyone in the world, more beautiful, handsome. No. We want only Krishna. What else is there? Is there anything better than Krishna in the world? That's why the Vaishnavas, they can sometimes write off the whole world. Says the world, yeah. Okay, anything else? No. Shall we talk about the world? Okay, the world. Finished. Is there anything else? Yeah. Anything else to talk about? Maybe the spiritual world. Oh, yes. What is there in this world that is so good? Ice cream. It's good. It's so good that you take another birth. You want to take another birth for ice cream?
No.
Give you 1 kilo. Mango. With nutty crunch. No, the bottom line is that it may be good. I admit it's good. I also like it. You know, especially when after the pizza made by Madhava, father, you know, Madhava Goranga's father makes good pizzas. You should just do that, as far as I'm concerned. I think so. You should stop everything else and just make pizza. So, some devotees are very talented, you know, gifted. But, yeah, when that pizza is not offered to Krishna, then who cares about the best pizza? And it's not prasad. When it's just food, you know. Want some food? Not really. You know, can we get something with eternal benefit, please? So like that, we prasana. It tastes good, but there's eternal benefit at the same time. Hey, now it's fun. It's full of mercy, yes. Give me that. Lots of it. In this way, everything in spiritual life is full of eternal benefit. And in the material world, no matter how good it looks, it's temporary. It's just gonna rot. It's gonna wrinkle. There was a movie called Shangri-La. And it was about a valley somewhere in the Himalayas. And this man had heard about it, and he's looking for it, and he's just roaming through over the mountains, really deep into the Himalayas. And one time, he comes into this valley, and in this valley, everyone is young, and everyone is beautiful, and everything is just super nice. So he's like, whoa, he has the time of his life, you know. It's paradise, Shangri-La, Shangri-La, he's there. But yeah, in due course of time, he begins to think of the people he left behind, and said, if only I could tell them, if I could share it with them and bring them here to Shangri-La. So one day he decides to leave Shangri-La, and then, you know, he is aging. As he goes out, he turns old. And the film shows, like, you know, like how from really young, it's like it just grows on him, like. I saw it like, I don't know, 45 years ago. It's a long time, but I can still see the picture. I never forgot that. It's sort of like, wow. Yes, that's the material world, Shangri-La. Oh la la, we are in Shangri-La. Young and strong, for a while. For a while. Then old and croaky. So, it goes quick. Therefore, we need knowledge. It is said that the age for taking sannyas, where one can take sannyas, is 12. Not according to the GBC resolutions, but according to the Shastra, it's actually 12. Right? And we see that in the Madhva tradition, we see some of the acharyas, they walk around with a real short danda. Have you heard that? They have this little danda. And then someone was asking the acharya why he had such a small danda. He said, because the danda has to be the size of the sannyasi at the time that he takes sannyas. He said, so it took when I was 12. So it was small. Smaller. So 12 one can take. Sankaracharya took a little earlier. Madhvacharya took a 12. Sankaracharya was 8. Anyway, I'm not putting a plug in for the sannyasa ashram. But the point is, though, that it is said that age has nothing to do with years. Age, some people are 85 and they're still children. You know? They never grow up, they stay kids forever. They never mature. But it said knowledge, by knowledge, one gains age. So if you, therefore, when one has knowledge, even at 12 years old, one is wise, one is mature. So then one is of age, can never be considered a kid. You know? Ever gurukulis are never kids. And everyone says, you're a kid.
How can you say something?
And then you give him some transcendental knowledge straight in the face. That will fix that. Anyway, so, in short, this transcendental knowledge actually changes everything. Because it makes us realize that we are timeless. Oh, we are timeless. What do we have to do with these bodies that are now a certain age? We are eternal. We are timeless. Oh. And that understanding, then one realizes actually our true home is the spiritual world. Such a vision is so easy to develop in Sri Dhammayapur. It's more difficult downtown London or New York or Paris or in Prague. All these other places. It's a little more difficult there. But by Prabhupada's mercy, even there it's possible. But here, we are so fortunate. So my suggestion is, do one thing. Just stay here the rest of your life. There's enough to do. It's not, say, yeah, but shouldn't we go out and preach? Preach here. Preach and help to make Mayapur a success. Who's going to lead Mayapur? Who's going to make this into a spiritual city? Who? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you have an idea who can make Mayapur into a spiritual city. Maybe. I don't know. So yeah, that's what I suggest. Just stay here your whole life.
All of you.
No need to go anywhere else. It's not worth it, believe me. I've got plenty of air miles. Been there, done that. Okay, thank you very much. I used up my time.
God! God!